The amount of people come up to me or business people who message me saying, we appreciate what you guys like you and Jim from NEPA Pizza Review and a few other people do in the area by not blasting the places that you go to, because you don't know how bad that hurts small businesses when we hear negative stuff about our place. And that's why I do what I do. But people think I'm bullshitting my reviews. And it's just, this is nonsense. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to post a negative review. I'm not going to post a bullshit review. I'm not going to lie about something I eat. And it's not. It still hits. I don't miss. I just go, go, go. Like a go, go flow. And I'm almost done. And I told your soul. When I throw these flows, like it's Rochambeau. And I ain't too close. It's Joe Smoke Girls. And I'm on my grind. That is all the time. I do not do breaks. That's right. I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is not that bad. But I still ask you, the boy got skills. I don't need her. I don't need him. I don't need help with me. I got this. I can sing songs. I can spit raps. And I can do both. Even do this. Word.
This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilks Consulting, a Ramsey preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilks Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilks Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to wilcopa.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's wilcopa.com, wilcopa.com. Wilks Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn. What's up, podcast? It's your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. I'm here in the studio with Brian DeMattei. Brian, welcome back to the On The Stacks podcast.
Bill, thanks for having me. I came all the way from across the Food Fight studio.
You did.
To come into the On The Stacks studio.
And it was a far walk for you.
It was. I had to stop at the water cooler, fill up my jug, because you once told me now that, you know, I'm part OTS, I can't have the bottles of water.
That's right.
But in a case of emergency, he will give me one.
He's I do.
Not completely
yeah,
cut
I,
me
I
off.
Don't, I don't let everyone I here am, go dehydrated.
But I am told to make sure I fill up my water bottle.
And yeah.
I did that.
You
before
did.
I came in here.
Yep. Look,
yes.
Yeah. You even got the same one as me.
I do.
You're
I
just
do.
Covered in more stickers.
Mine now. Came into my life. I was at the Dunmore, Good Tree, Dunmore location. And somebody left a water bottle there. And Frank's like, Brian, you want this? I can't stand it. People leave the water bottles
Wait,
everywhere.
Somebody left that?
Dude, it was a box. of water bottles at the gym.
This was used?
After 2 weeks.
Used.
They give them away. Yeah.
That was a used water bottle.
Used, washed in my sink with soap and water. I don't care. I don't care. I didn't pay for it. I would never pay. How much did these cost?
I was going to say, I can't see you. No offense.
How much did these cost?
I don't know. Probably like $80.
I would never spend $80 for a water bottle.
That's the customized one. I think mine's customized. Okay. It might have been like $70 or $75.
Well,
makeshift customized.
I got a stickers to customize, but I would never pay $80. Yeah. I wouldn't pay $50 for a cup.
You wouldn't pay $50 for this?
No.
If it was customized?
No.
You're insane.
You could pay $10 for this something that's similar to it. Now, it's not going to keep the water cold. I get it. But it's going to get the job done. I drink room temperature water anyway.
Yeah, I do too.
I do take advantage of the cold water.
Water cooler here. I just liked the quality of this also because I can customize it. I'm sure you can customize other ones too.
I hear you.
But I just preferred this brand.
Well, for a Christmas bonus for the Food Fight podcast, I will be expecting a customized Yeti bottle.
Okay. That's fair.
From you guys. Okay.
Christmas bonus.
Jimmy could buy it.
I was going to say, yeah. Who even said you're getting a Christmas
bonus? Oh, no one. No one said that. I'm just assuming.
Okay, good.
I'm going to get one.
All right. We'll make Jimmy or Eric buy it.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That
or will. Great.
Speaking of beverages.
Speaking
what
of.
What's going on with this?
Yeah.
Blood orange. I said it wrong before.
I think it's pronounced cardamom.
Okay. And what's in here?
It's got 2 milligrams of THC and 4 milligrams of CBD.
And Bill, let me tell you, when you started to shout this out more, I was like, how is this even possible in PA? Because I have my medical license.
Right.
And you can't buy it at the dispensaries. Mm-hmm. So I went online and it is. It's completely legal
to
have this shipped to you in PA. I don't understand how it's possible.
I don't either.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But
it don't matter.
It's completely legal. Yes. And you can buy it if you want to.
Yeah. And
I was just in
that awkward reach for the. Yeah. This is I don't think they called it a low boy, but I am because it's like small. Whereas this one's called high boy. And you can see the difference.
The little.
Yeah, look at this.
There's a little, the little 8 ounce can.
See this? See the difference? And there's a big difference there. You know, obviously the high boy has 5 milligrams.
Yes.
So it's 2.5 times the THC.
CBD is the best part of these sometimes, man. They're really good CBD.
Mm-hmm.
Relaxes you. It's like taking like really good ibuprofen without the stomach bother. You know,
These are very relaxed. Yeah. Well, we got to stop talking about it.
Let's try it out.
Crack these open here. Is this going to be like an official review?
Yeah.
All right, smell absolutely. It. Do you smell things first? Do you do a smell test?
I don't normally.
What's it smell like? Tell people what it smells like first.
Definitely smells like an orange.
Okay.
But
And?
Like a little tangerine-ish orange, but like one of those.
You don't smell marijuana?
I don't.
Really? I mean, it's very subtle, I think.
Maybe because I'm used to smelling it.
Yeah, because you're a pro.
Let's say I'm a pro.
You're medically licensed.
I'm a medically licensed. I'm a professional marijuana user.
Right, don't drink it yet. We got to
do a little toast.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers. Coming back on the show. Cheers to your show, by the way.
I appreciate
cheers
that,
to
man.
Cheers to Fluga.
We're going to tell that story in a little while.
I don't even know what side I'm on.
We got food fight over there.
Food fight here.
I wanted to put my sticker on Bill's microphone, but we couldn't find tape, he told me. There's no tape anywhere.
Yeah, I have to send you the invoice for that.
I don't even have that on my own microphone.
Yeah. The sweat tent pays more. So sweat tent pays more, so that's why they're on yours.
Sweat tent. You got to give me a free trial on a sweat tent.
Well, you know, you need to get a sweat tent.
Let me tell you what. I just sat in the sauna at the gym the other day for over 20 minutes, and I got real into it, but I was sweating my balls out. Mm. I had no towel.
Hold on.
Yes.
If anyone's interested in these drinks, use code OTS. You'll get 20% off.
Blood orange.
Drinkcan.com. That's, and can is spelled with two N's, so it's drinkcan.com.
Let's try it. We didn't taste it yet.
How was that ad? Cheers.
That was sounding really good.
Thank you.
Sounded really good.
Okay. We're making a lot of mouth sounds right now.
There's people loving it.
Oh, and people are
hating it.
Somebody just shut the show off.
I'm on the side of shut the fucking show off.
Are you?
No, let me listen to people. I can't stand people chewing in the
microphone. No, me neither.
That's why I never like doing food reviews, like eating on the camera, but people love it. People want that noise. There's YouTube channels dedicated to, what do they call it? They call it
ASMR?
ASMR? Fuck that shit, man.
Yeah. All right, what do you think? Give me your honest. Brian's never had one of these before.
It's incredibly refreshing.
Mm.
It's got a good carbonation to it.
Now, I want your honest opinion.
I'm genuinely enjoying it. I love orange flavored beverages. I don't know what it is. Orange soda bothers my tongue. I can't explain it. I think I'm allergic to something in orange soda. It bothers my throat a little bit. But I love oranges. I definitely love blood oranges and like the little mini oranges, the little cuties.
Yeah, the little cuties.
They're in season. They have to be the cutie brand though.
Yes, they have.
They peel perfectly. They have to be cold to refrigerate those bad boys. Yes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't want. Yeah. Mm-mm.
But this little bit of ice, some squeezed fresh orange in there. Mm. That's a good drink right there, bro. Mm. I don't drink alcohol, but I would drink this.
Me neither. Not anymore.
I don't drink alcohol. I had a Corona on vacation. That was the first beer I had in 3 years. Now, I know we talked about my sobriety the last time I was on the show, but I'm very open about when I decided to get into the medical marijuana field about 2 years ago because of my aches and my pains. Ibuprofen's great, but my stomach doesn't really agree with it. It's not overall good for you. You know what I mean? I put a lot of Tylenol on my body back in the day with all the stuff I used to take. You know what I mean? So I was nervous about going on, you know, doing marijuana again, smoking pot again, but it relaxes me. It makes me sleep at nighttime. You know what I mean? I do more CBD than THC. And
you do? You know, you do more CBD?
I try to updose like 30, 40 milligrams a day with CBD. I'll give a little break with it. It's definitely a difference. There's all kinds of stuff. There's creams. There's tinctures. You know, you put the drops under your tongue. Yeah. They're great for nighttime. Very relaxing.
Yeah. These are for me at least. And again, I know it's different for everybody, right? THC affects everybody differently, whether it's edible or smoked or whatever. But for me, it's very relaxing. And I've never slept better in my life.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Good night.
Yeah, good night. We're done. So luckily, I don't really have problems. I don't have problems sleeping. When I got out of treatment, I had trouble sleeping, but things have gotten a lot better. I'm currently in a hotel right now.
The
bed wasn't great the first night. Now I've been there for like 10 days already.
Any bugs?
No bugs. A very clean room. Nope. I asked to see the room first before I checked in.
Okay.
And the face I got. But now I've been there for over a week now. They're real nice to me. I'm still waiting for a free night. But the reason I'm in a hotel is because recently I've been through a life change. I know you have as too, Bill, and we're going to talk about that. You know, currently, you know, me and my ex-fiance, we broke up a few weeks ago. And I was staying there for a little while longer until I found the place. And I found the place. My buddies let me move into a house. And, you know, no fault of his own. You know, we're waiting for PP&L to come turn the power on because they had to change the wires over. It's been like 6 days and they still haven't come there to fix the wire. So like, you know, everyone that's close to me offered me a couch or a spare room, whatever like that. You know what I mean? But I like my own space. Yeah. I like my own space. And, you know, I'm in a position where I could afford a couple of nights in the hotel, this kind of stuff like that. And I'm staying there right now, but it's getting old now. I need to be settled. I'm not eating right. I finally ordered, you know, meals from, you know, Fit AF Nutrition. We said Jordan on the show. So, shout out 20% off your first 7 meals.
Use code OTS.
Got him. He got me first. Bastard. God. You should have seen his face when I was getting ready to say it. I almost got it. Right,
if anybody uses your code.
No, it's all good. It's all
then,
good.
I get all the commission.
I get all.
Use code FOODFIGHT, all right?
I appreciate that, Brian.
Use code great. FOODFIGHT.
That's great.
I had to do it.
Your face was great.
But what the fuck is this guy? This guy's hijacking my
show?
Oh, I did.
I absolutely hijacked it.
My advertisers? Come on.
That was great.
Sheesh.
So I finally got meals from him. So it was really nice. I should have got them a week or so ago, but I'm so displaced.
Yeah.
You know? I'm lucky to be where I am. I mean, you know, things didn't work out with me. My fiance, it's a big life change. You know, it's upsetting. It's kind of a mutual breakup. But like, you know, I know where my faults were. You know, I have to admit my faults and admit where I was wrong to improve my next relationship. And just me in general, you know what I mean? If I was sitting there being naive and blaming her for everything, that wouldn't be fair.
Right. You
know, that wouldn't be fair. We both had our own part in it. But I moved out with thinking I was going to be able to live in the new place for a little while until either...
Now you're hotel hopping.
Until either he finds me a smaller apartment to live in or I buy a house. And but right now, things aren't working out the way they're supposed to. So I'm going to stay in the hotel the rest of the week. If PPL doesn't come turn the power on, I'm going to move in with my buddy who owns, who I work with every day at the gym, Tyler Mooney. Yeah. So I'll stay with him on the weekend.
Yeah, or maybe you can sleep in your studio over there. I moved that couch in there.
Yeah.
That couch pulls out to a bed.
I would 100% stay here.
Would you?
Yeah, you gotta give me a key.
If I let you?
Yeah, give me a key. It's 80 degrees though. I'm glad the air conditioning's on.
Yeah.
Way too hot for me.
Yeah.
Oh, anything over 80 is too much for me.
Yeah, I don't like really hot either. Like not that hot and no like less like the humidity. Oh yeah. That's the worst.
I'll be the first to bitch about it being cold.
When it's supposed to
be warm though.
But like 75, sunny, mm-hmm. no like minimal humidity. That's perfect.
That's one of the reasons why I'm hesitant to stay over at my buddy's house, because I'm like, what's the air conditioning situation? Like, it's time for air conditioning now.
It is.
We're not in the window yet.
It's AC season.
It's AC season.
So what are you thinking about this?
I'm thinking it's really fucking good.
You like it?
Yeah.
Do you?
I was worried that there was going to be a...
like a weird taste?
A bad aftertaste.
Mm.
You know how some drinks taste great in the beginning, and then you, after you swallow it, it's like, okay, that's disgusting.
That's what she said.
I knew you were going to say that at least once. That's all you're allowed.
Okay.
That's all you're allowed.
I'll try to curb my...
Or I'll just spend the next hour saying food fight 20% off code for...
All right. Settle down. So this guy's hijacking my show. He's hijacking my advertisers.
I'm done doing that. Jesus. I'm going to hear about it afterwards.
You are.
I am.
Yeah. You're getting written up.
So let me apologize on air, Bill, that I did that.
Okay.
All right. Are we still friends?
I think so.
Okay, good.
For now.
Good.
For now. Yeah.
But this is really good, man.
I would definitely recommend
yeah, they have, trying
they have
this
a,
out.
They have a few other flavors. And they're pretty good. But this one's definitely my favorite. I'm also a huge orange mm-hmm. flavor fan. Mm-hmm. I only actually drink this one just because I love the flavor so much. I think they have like 3 or 4 others. I kind of actually forget some of the other flavors. There's like a lemon something one.
Ooh, a lemon probably would be
really
good.
It's pretty good. It's not as good as this, at least in my opinion. Maybe you'll like it better. You should try it. Use code OTS. You'll get 20% off.
Use code OTS.
Yep.
For that.
Yeah.
For
sure. but you was very serious. Thank you.
I was.
But yeah, no, man. It is refreshing.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
The air conditioning hitting my face right now is refreshing as well.
Feels good, right?
Yeah.
It's nice.
Feels real nice.
And yeah,
it's amazing,
man,
how big this building is on the inside. On the outside, it looks like you could fit a shoe in here.
It looks like a shoebox.
But you
right?
walk inside, it's like, where's all this space coming from?
Yeah, like, it's like you went to a black hole and it just got bigger.
It is.
Dude, everybody says the same thing.
You got like 3 or 4 huge rooms in here, and it's incredible.
Right?
I would live in here if you let me live in here. I would live on the beanbag chair over there.
I might let you. I don't know if Kingston would let me or would be okay with that. So
you don't shovel your sidewalks in Kingston. So,
well, I did, but it took me like a little too long. Apparently,
you got to be shoveled immediately.
Probably. I know. Yeah, what a joke.
Immediately.
So
you know how many tickets I got for parking on the street for the street cleaning when I lived in Kingston?
How many?
3. I was up to $50 fines.
You went to the next level.
I argue the $50 fine. I'm like, listen. I go. I thought you were there earlier on. I thought I heard you there earlier on. It was 3:30. Parked in front of my house. Then you guys come at 3:30. That's what I understand. The sign says until 4. But I thought you were there already. I go, is there any way you'll let me go with this?
What'd they say?
They did.
Did they?
It was nice.
Mm.
It was nice.
They weren't nice to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to go there. We're moving out of Kingston, by the way. Do you know that?
We are moving out of Kingston?
We are. I don't know when.
Okay.
But I'm gonna say it now so we can manifest it together.
Okay. Yeah. Okay? I just moved out of Kingston. So it's time for you to move out of Kingston. I think the fact that I moved out of Kingston, though. I like living down this,
you know,
in this area.
And, you know, and I don't mind it, except for the municipal people.
Yeah.
But other... shout out to the municipality. I can't even say municipality. It's a big word.
Yeah, they keep the streets clean, though, at least.
Oh, well, yeah.
But don't give me a $15 fine for having my car parked there. Bro.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, you guys, Kingston let... Remember coming off of Bennett... Remember last year? Coming off of Bennett Street, the one-way Bennett Street?
Yeah.
Where they were doing that road construction for mm-hmm. like the summer, excuse me. Well, they never posted.
That was some good ASMR.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They never painted the lines back on the road because you come up there, right lane turns right.
Yep.
The left lane goes straight to mm-hmm. the bank.
Yep.
Or left
goes
on the Wyoming Avenue. When you have a car sitting in the right, now you drive past the sign that's far away from the red light that says right lane, but there's no paintings though. There was no line painting at all. The amount of cars that went straight when it was supposed to go right that almost hit me over and over and over again. I had to go to the police station and complain about it, the Brill Building. Although, like, you're not the only person to complain. You know, Rainbow Jewelers, shout out to them. Rainbow Jewelers, they said that they're complaining about it. This and the chief of police told me, he gave me a call back. was respectful. He said, we can't do anything about it right now. We need to be warm to paint the lines. I'm like, what about putting more signs out there? We can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? There's signs everywhere. Signs everywhere. So I complained. They complained. I complained. I sent them emails and pictures of the video of the cars flying, almost trying to kill us, trying to kill people. The first warm day, they're out there spray painting the line. I don't know if you remember that. They're out there spray painting the lines. And then they finally put the official line. You can't have an intersection like that.
No.
With no lines painted for months and think, and think it's acceptable.
Dude, people don't know how to drive around here to begin with.
Yeah, think it's acceptable.
With lines, people don't know how to drive.
If one of those cars smashed into me, I would have drove right to the police, right to the Muslim, and be like, who's paying for this? Because I know my insurance isn't.
Yeah.
You guys are paying for this. You guys are liable for this. How do you let yourself, you definitely, now I'm not a lawyer by any means, but I would think they'd be liable for that. When I went to the borough building too, what'd the guy say to me? Oh, that's not our problem. That's the company that did the construction. Mm. I'm like, okay, I hear you on that, but now it's your problem.
Yeah.
They left without painting it.
It's a trickle-down effect.
It's still your road. I don't think it's a state road. I think Wyoming Avenue is a state road, but I don't think Bennett Street's a state road. Mm-hmm. I go, you guys are responsible for this. This is in your borough. This is in your town. We're your citizens, and you're putting us at risk. That's enough of that.
Yeah, it is. You know, two guys here, you know, with ADHD or you have ADHD, right?
Oh yeah, I have all kinds of ADHD. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, things gotta be perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, we're
most things.
We're going to talk about one thing for 10 seconds and then switch gears. So what we were really saying when we were leaving Kingston.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're going to be leaving Kingston, not because of their crappy lines or my snow finds.
Yeah. But, Kingston is a very, with all that saying, busting balls, I love when I moved here.
I do.
It's very nice. It's very clean. There's tons of small businesses everywhere.
Yep.
I used to walk around the whole town, especially this time of the year, walking miles. And it's clean. It's nice. People are really nice. So that's why I'm sad I moved. Yeah. I'm moving to Pittston. You know what I mean? I'm an old Forge guy, but I'm moving to Pittston now for a little while and then going from there. But I'm going to miss living down here, like in the heart of the valley.
Yeah.
Down here. You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully we'll, as OTS grows, you know, over the next few months and plus several months, you know, we're growing and expanding, we're running out of space here.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we will find a new building, a new OTS HQ.
That'd be really exciting.
In the near future. Don't know when, we're starting to look.
Yeah.
So, I'm putting that out there because I feel like a lot of times, a lot of the things that we say, and just in general, not just the things I've said on this show, but you put stuff like that out into the universe and it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. You have to speak it.
I agree.
You know?
You gotta put the plan in a little bit of action no matter what that action might be.
Exactly. And and even if the first action is just saying it publicly and sort of putting it out there and letting people know your intentions, letting the universe know your intentions.
Exactly.
And then guess what? You take the next step because the hardest part with anything, I mean not just this, what I'm saying. Hardest part with anything is just taking that first step. Deciding like that's what I want to do, or we're going to do this, or you know we're going to go after this goal, we're going to accomplish that. The hardest part is actually just saying you're going to do it and literally putting yourself out there, because most people, at least just for me, like I feel like a lot of times when I say things on a public stage, you know, I'll say whether it's social media or this or wherever, I think hold myself a little bit more accountable.
People are waiting for you to do it.
Yes.
They might not say anything.
Yes, but they're like, remember when he said that?
Because I know a lot of people who put their business out there and never do anything.
Sorry, I was taking a big sip of my
what is that again?
Little can. Can.
Can.
Can.
Can.
People are going to be so sick of hearing us talk about can. After this episode, we're going to have to never drink it again. but that's it, man.
People put things out there. And the example that comes off the top of my head is, you know, the Food Fight podcast.
Dude, you got to tell the story.
Bro,
in the parking lot.
Absolutely.
This is the greatest story ever.
Absolutely. So,
it doesn't even feel real yet.
It doesn't.
You're several weeks, if not a few months or more into this. And it, to me, it almost.
We have eight episodes recorded already.
Yeah.
No, we have more than eight episodes.
More.
The
more
eighth one's coming out this week.
Yeah. You probably recorded up to 12. Yeah, we got 12 or 14. 13.
Then I have, we already reaching that 20 member, that 20 episode, that 20 episodes. And me and Bill, if anybody saw it on social media or not, me and Bill were at Wilkes University. So this episode's coming up about a month from now.
Yeah,
so
probably
right
about
now,
4 weeks from now.
Right now, it's the beginning of May. I was just on the show a year ago.
That's right. Episode
right
around 159. Now. 159.
Or 159. Right?
159. Oh my 159. God, listen to me.
Yeah, so 159. So it was literally this week.
It was almost a year ago.
A year ago.
Yeah.
So I started working at Goodtree MMA. It was Wilkes-Barre MMA at the time, but now it's Goodtree MMA, Wilkes-Barre location, down in Wilkes-Barre Township Boulevard. Reach out to me, free, or stop by, take a free class, come join something that changed my life years ago, all right? So we, her name was Margaret, right? Margaret
Margaret Petty.
She reached out.
She saw your episode. And you know, so somebody else, like she was talking to somebody else at Wilkes that happened to know me. And I don't know how they made the connection somehow amongst each other, but Margaret talked to somebody else that knew me. And then the other person introed Margaret to me in an email and said, "Hey, Margaret, you know, Margaret might be interested in having, you know, you do something." Well, I'll let her take it from here. And then she emailed me back and said, "Hey, Bill, I saw your episode with Brian DeMattei, and I just happened to be scrolling on social media and I came across it." And she's like, "I'm the director of continuing learning here at Wilkes, and we have a pain and addiction summit, a yearly pain addiction summit that they do at Wilkes. That is a continuing education course for, you know, everybody, you know, in the pain addiction world, from the legal aspect, you know, like with probation officers, all the way up to doctors and physicians, right? And prescribers and, you know, all that." So she reached out to me, and it was literally probably, I actually looked back to my email. I think it was like a month after your episode came out.
Oh, was it really?
So it was last June. Okay. Yeah. So your episode, I think, came out in May.
Okay.
Then she emailed us. She emailed me a month later. And then I think I like text you or something. I was like, "Yo, bro."
You did. You came. You texted me. We stayed in contact a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you reached out to me for that, and I was like, "Yeah, man, that would be absolutely amazing." Not even really thinking about like where we're gonna be when we did when we shot. Yeah. It was so far in advance.
Yeah, because that was June of 2023.
And then
she's like,
April. I'm like, April? April when?
And you said you were like, it already passed. And
yeah, I'm like, it's already passed April,
no,
bro.
I'm like, no, April 2024. I'm talking almost a whole year from now. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, it does. So then we set up a meeting with her to meet her on campus. I'll let you tell the rest of the story, because it's just kind of cool to me. One, you know, I could seriously still picture the both of us standing in that parking lot
the whole
day.
Yeah. So we met at the parking lot, and then we met her at the coffee shop there on campus, and no name drops of that coffee shop. So
it's no Troy Street Coffee.
It's absolutely not Troy Street Coffee. I was just there last week for the first time. Had the bagel sandwich and the donuts, and they didn't have coffee yet though. But I had the food, and I'm gonna get Ed on the show. Ed, shout out to Ed. We'll get you on here soon enough. All right, bro. So we met in the coffee shop, and we're sitting there, and we met her and a few other people. She was with a few other people.
Yeah. Yep.
And she was just explaining what the situation was, like how the summit goes all day long. Lawyers, doctors, pharmacists, everyone in that field. Pain and addiction field, they're coming in, they have to be there for taking education credits, and we kept it moving along, and then she told us what we're going to do, and it was instantly like, yeah, absolutely, man.
Yep.
Absolutely, 100%, sign me up. And the fact that we could do it, that we were doing it together, was really exciting. So we got done with that, put everything in place, and they're like, okay, I'd be like, it's fucking not for another year.
So
a lot of time to get some information, are they even going to remember in a year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, We walk out to the parking lot, and
it was a very nice day from what I remember.
It was beautiful outside.
It was perfect too, wasn't it?
It was beautiful outside, yeah. It wasn't too warm, wasn't too cold. It was beautiful.
Kind of like today.
Yeah. Because I don't think we met in June. Was it later in June? Was it in the summer when we met? I feel like it was later in the summer, Bill, because like,
it might have been.
Not the best time for a day like that. Whenever it was.
Yeah.
You could probably go back and look.
Yeah.
Whenever it was.
But anyway, we were standing in the parking lot.
I don't remember.
I know what it was. You brought up Will's show. You're like,
This
is how it started. You're like, hey, so I saw that that guy, that Dr. Will Ramey, that you had on your show like a long time ago.
Because I messaged him before I even brought it up to you. I'm like, Will, I go, because he started liking my stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, Will, I go,
I see you're doing something.
Are you doing the show with Bill? Like, how's that working out? And he explained a little bit to me, and then that was it.
Yeah.
And then we had our meeting, and then we were in the parking lot. Go ahead. I remember probably. You probably remember more of it than I do. I remember that part.
I just remember the first thing you said, were like, hey, like, so I saw Will's doing that show. Like, and what you, and I think you were like, other studio. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, we just built out a second studio in the building. I was like, yeah, we're looking to expand shows and to like do, we're looking to expand, I'll say like our network of in-house shows, and we call them On the Stacks Originals.
Yeah. I think I literally said, oh man, I would love to do a food fight podcast.
Yeah. And you're like, how's that work? And I'm like, I'm like, right, well, it. I'm like, you know, I'm like, you know, Will, and you know, he won't mind me saying this, but Will was like the guinea pig. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he was the very first one we did.
Yeah.
Show's still going on, by the way. Shout out Leadership to Cody.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's fantastic.
See the sign right over here, you know.
Tell you what, if you got 15 minutes every week, which we all do.
Yeah.
And you just want to educate yourself and motivate yourself and get a different perspective on pretty much anything that you're doing.
And you don't need to be a leader. That's
no, you don't.
Thing.
No, you just, it's just.
It's helpful. In everyday life.
I don't even think about that when I'm listening to podcasts. Like, oh, I have to be a leader for this.
And yeah, but a lot of people do. That's why I say that. A lot of people think like, oh, well, that's not me. But it's like, it doesn't need to be.
It's a really good point. And just the stuff he talks about is like, wow. And Will's been helping me, you know, off of that, like personally with like my jiu-jitsu and just life in general.
Yeah.
And it's just such a different perspective of looking at things and going and approaching things. It's absolutely amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm glad things are working out for Will on there, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'd love to do a podcast for this.
Yeah, and you're like, what's
that
look like?
And you were just immediately just whoom, right into it. And next thing I know, we're bullshitting about that.
Mm-hmm.
I get in the car and I'm home. I'm like, that would be really, really cool. Not even thinking that
it was going to happen. Yeah, you're like, oh, that'd be
Because you told me branching out into the new year.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So I wish I fucking remember when it was. June, July. Was it maybe September,
October? It might have been early fall.
Yeah, I think it was early because it was, like I said, it was unseasonably beautiful outside. Yeah, I had a tank top and shorts on.
I think it was early fall.
Yeah. So next thing I know is you text me a few days later, like, let's get this thing rolling. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we're like, hey, let's talk about
okay.
this.
Okay. Let's actually talk about it. I come down, have a meeting with you and Jimmy.
Yep.
And here we are.
The rest is history, bro.
The rest is history, man.
Crazy.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing. And the feedback has been tremendous lately. You know what I mean? People be coming up to me, hey, food fight. Hey,
yeah.
You know, I love what you do for the area, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to beat a dead horse into the ground, but the amount of people who come up to me or business people who message me saying, we appreciate what you guys like you and Jim and from NEPA Pizza Review and a few other people do in the area by not blasting the places that you go to. Because you don't know how bad that hurts small businesses when we hear negative stuff about our place. And that's why I do what I do. And I'm not about that. I'm not going to get into it. I've said it too many times on my own show and your show, you know what I mean? But people think I'm bullshitting my reviews. And that's just nonsense.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to post a negative review. And I'm not going to post a bullshit review. I'm not going to lie about something I eat. And it's not. Listen, I like most food.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot to impress me when it comes to food. You know what I mean? No, pizza, maybe a little different. I'm not a pizza snob, but there's some shitty pizza in the area and I just don't go back there.
You're just not gonna talk about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And there were times where I had shitty pizza from a place. I went back and tried it again, which I normally do, and it was good. So you have an off day.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Old Forge, man. There's been times in Old Forge on Friday night where the pizza didn't come out right. Am I gonna close the place up because I never went there?
Yeah,
I went there 100 times.
You're not gonna write them off because of it.
I have one bad pizza over 100 times. I'm gonna go back and do it again. I'm currently doing my Old Forge pizza tour, and we had Russ Rinaldi on the episode. He told the whole story of Old Forge pizza. The episode was fantastic.
Yeah, it was the best.
I need a whole day to talk.
Yeah.
So have him on the show again. You know what I mean? You should have him on your show.
I should.
Yeah, that would be.
I think I need to.
I think that would be a really good guest to have on the show. Could touch on all that and.
Mm-hmm.
I know he wouldn't mind telling his sobriety story. He's really out there.
I didn't know that.
For like 13 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shout out to Russ. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's go back into, we just did the pain and addiction summit at Wilkes.
Yep.
Finally came. The date finally came. I got to a point where I was forgetting my beard is going into my nose, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I forgot, hair and makeup was late on their way in.
There was a time where I was like, what is this? I have jiu-jitsu tournaments coming up in April, so I can't do anything on that Friday. I have to do these. I couldn't wait to do it. And
mm-hmm.
I used to tell my story a lot at AA meetings. I used to go up to Clearbrook and tell my story, other places and tell my story for years. But that's when I was stone cold sober. I'm not sober anymore because I smoke pot, all right? And I'm not going to sit around and say, oh, I'm sober and hide it from people. I'm open about it.
Yep.
But I'm sober off of the stuff that ruined my life and put me on the track I'm on now.
It's a big difference.
It's my sobriety. The way I do it, it works for me. I would recommend anyone try, go to AA. If you're trying to get sober, the number one suggestion I would say is go to AA. Go there for a while until you start getting better and then make your own judgment from that. Some people do it been in there for 20, 30 years. That's their thing. That's their sobriety. That's their story. That's their path.
Yep.
This is the path I'm on now. And, you know, I'll be 43 soon. And do I have regrets about my past life? Sure, I have regrets, but it made me into the person I'm in here now. I think the last time I said something on the show, I don't know if I'd be here right now.
No, you
if
wouldn't
I didn't have that life.
No,
it would be a whole different project. I might have the most boring fucking life in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Might have a dead end job somewhere with a house and
or dead.
Whatever. Or dead.
Or dead.
Or dead. You know? Or yeah. dead. I'm lucky to be here, and I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, cheers to that.
Cheers,
man. Cheers to that.
I'm grateful for the opportunities that you gave me, Bill, with the podcast and everything like that. I love working with you guys. It's exciting. It's not work.
Yeah.
I come in here and I schmooze the guest and we bullshit, we laugh, we take pictures. If I remember to take pictures,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we shoot the podcast. And I remember the first episode, when we recorded the first episode with Jim.
Yeah. Sorry about that small table, Jim.
You see his comment?
Yeah.
You see his comment? I see you guys upgraded the table.
Sorry, Jim.
We both messed up the table order.
Yeah.
It was at the point
where... it's one of those things, I want to say this. One of those things that these are the things that hold people back from actually creating, okay? Had we have waited till that we had the perfect table... Now, granted, I think we had it maybe within a couple weeks.
It was the next week.
Right. Because we were like, oh, shit, okay, let's change that. But these are the things that, like sometimes it's something as little as that. I know it sounds little, right? But something as little as that may hold somebody back from starting a podcast. You know why? Because they might say, oh, well, it's not perfect. Oh, it's not the best thing yet. Well, so what?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be.
I agree.
You know? So at the time, you know, we had the first episode. We're like, you know what? Screw it. We don't have another table yet. We're just going to roll with what we have. And, it, you know, it worked.
You messaged me that morning. Do you have a table?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
I'm like, okay, or well.
It might have been the day before. I think it was the day before. Yeah. I was at Walmart. I was like, not on the table.
I was like, we've got to use the small one.
I went to the table aisle. And all they had were the big folding. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's terrible. So
the Buffalo Bills
table. I'm like, you know what? Bill will take care of it. We get here. We stare at each other like, we'll just have to use that table.
Yep.
And that was it. And it worked.
And, you know, and
Jim
guess
like,
what?
Me now, and Jim were like this sitting at the table.
And now
it
guess
worked.
What? It makes for a good story. It
makes for a good story.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. We're going to laugh about it forever.
Yeah. Just Jim's comment alone.
Oh my God.
I see you upgraded the table.
Yeah. I love it. It's fucking
so Jim, we'll have you. Jim, you'll be coming back on.
We got to do it right.
You'll be coming back onto the big table and I won't make you eat crackers anymore.
Yeah. You guys were at the kids table.
Yeah. I challenge.
Need to do more food challenges.
You're so right.
You need to do more.
You're so right.
At first, when you first told me you wanted to do that on some of the shows, at first I was like, I don't know. I was like, either that could like hijack the show and take way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was just like, I don't know if that will really work, but you know what? I really enjoyed it.
It was funny.
And Even though at first I kind of like second guessed it, obviously I loved it. It was hilarious. It was great.
Yeah.
But like, I think you should do more of them. Like whatever it is. And even if it's not even a food challenge, just getting something and trying it on the show with a guest.
No, I agree.
Anything. It doesn't have to be related to them. Like us right now, like literally we just got these.
Mm-hmm.
You've never had them before. I was like, yo, I got these. Let's try them.
I've been waiting days for you to bring them down to the studio.
Brian has been begging me for more than days, by the way. He's been begging me for
these
more
ones are only for show. Yep, I'm like, let's crack them open, motherfucker. Let's fucking drink them.
Yeah, so Brian has literally been bugging me for like weeks to try these, and I just kept forgetting to bring them here to the studio because I hoard them at home because they're so good.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessnepa. All On the Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights.
A lot of times when people are in car accidents, kind of forget what we should do. First and foremost, call 911. Then get out of your car before moving it and take pictures. It's so important to capture what the cars look like immediately following the accident. Finally, call your insurance carrier and make a claim.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interruptions and hello to lightning-fast connections. Loop Internet offers both residential and business fiber. Fast-track the future with their 10-gigabyte fiber and join the Loop Internet family today. Visit Loop Internet online at loopinternet.com or call 1-888-808-5667. Again, that's 1-888-808-5667 or visit them online at loopinternet.com. Loop Internet, where speed meets reliability.
And now we're back on the Stacks.
I'm in the affiliated program with them. I never even tried them before. I'm like, Bill, I got to try these. You need to give me a couple, please.
Yeah. But it's one of these things. I want to wait until we're on the show and I want to get your honest, genuine feedback from it because, you know, again, like sometimes people will think that it's staged or is it staged that we have these on here? Yes, but you trying it for the first time was real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we intentionally brought these on right today for you to try them. But it was for you to try it.
You put me on the spot. I'm gonna give you my honest opinion about the food.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't lie about my reviews. I can't say that enough. Why would I lie about food I like?
Yeah.
There's no need for it.
Yeah.
There's no need for it.
Right.
You know, there's no need for it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I paid too much money for that cookie from Wegmans the other night, $4.62.
Then you
for a double for a double chocolate chip cookie with the chocolate in the middle of it. That was about 8:30. I made the post after I bought it because it was a $5 cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Then at midnight I ate it. That was it. I had to apologize.
You did, and you did.
I'm going to get one of those tonight.
And you know, I think that's so important as a content creator, whether you make a statement, good or bad, and it's something. Not that this was bad. Not that you said anything like out of line, right?
But it was overpriced.
But you made a statement, right? And I think the fact that you then came back to your page shows how genuine you are because. You know, you admitted like, hey, I was wrong. And that cookie was worth every penny.
Yeah, every penny.
Yeah.
I post pictures of, you know, Burger King chicken sandwiches or Burger King Whoppers. People rip into me. It's hysterical. Oh, it's trash. Listen, I know it's fast food.
Yeah.
But that Whopper is better than most of the burgers that you could buy in a restaurant area. It's just this. It just tastes better.
I hate to say that. Yeah.
I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But you give me a double bacon Whopper. People are like, oh, go to a mom and pop shop. Well, it's 10 o'clock at night. Where can I get a double bacon burger immediately after comp practice on Monday night? Nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure I can get it somewhere, but I don't want to go anywhere. I'm filthy, sweaty. Just got done doing an hour and a half of jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to go into a restaurant, even to pick up food, because, no, I don't want to do that. You know?
Yep.
But these were really good. Definitely recommend them.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend them.
Wish we had some more, but, you know. And it's funny because I literally only brought enough in for you to try, which was just this.
That's perfect though.
This measly can.
I just need a case. Please. I'll use my code OTS. Yeah,
use code OTS.
Use my code OTS.
Yeah.
And I'll send you the bill as well.
All right.
Does that sound good?
Maybe.
You get 20% off.
Yeah. Okay. Then I get to drink them with you.
You do.
That's the catch. That could be a community. How about this? OTS will buy a community case.
That sounds
for
good.
For the studio.
That sounds good.
With our own code.
Did I change? Was my... That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, because we know everyone listening and watching is not going to use it, so we're just going to have to just keep buying amongst ourselves and use
was
our
my
code.
Food? Was my food page Dimitri's Food Fight last time I was on here? I think it was. Because it wasn't always the name.
I'm pretty sure it was. I'm like 99% sure. I don't even know what it was before that.
It was called Dimitri's NEPA Food Review.
Nope. I don't remember that.
Too much.
Nope.
It's too much. That was a lot. Yeah. That was a mouthful right there.
Yes. Yes.
So we had the conversation in the park. So we'll go back to our original topic after we got derailed for about a couple seconds, you know. Had a conversation in the parking lot.
We should send this in for ADHD research.
You reached out to me a couple days later. Let's get it going. We had a meeting with Jimmy. I came down here. You guys explained to me how it all works. And that was the rest is history.
Yeah.
It happens so fast. And you created this. I remember when you sent me this.
Yeah.
And the first time it was the octagon. It looked all right, but not.
Right.
Because people would have known what it was.
Yes.
But you sent me this first too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love that.
Better.
I love the ring. And you do, people do MMA in a ring anyway. You know, like one does it in the ring. You know what I mean? Everyone does it in the ring. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, love the colors. You know what I mean? You've been yelling at, you've been giving me the shit about my captions in my videos.
Yeah.
I'm going to put blue and gold captions branding. For Old Forge, bro.
Branding.
Branding, the blue and gold is Old Forge colors.
All right. I can respect that.
All right. That's cool.
I respect that.
I was telling Will this the other day. It was like, we're pretty much telling Shane you need some creative, I go, I need some creative relaxation for Bill. He's up, he's on my ass. It was a great conversation.
I love it.
Because he's showing me how to do
the
setup with the podcast. And I'm like, I go, Will, I go, Bill's breaking my balls about my captions. He goes, he wants everything to be fresh. I go, no, he's not wrong at all. But he's breaking my balls about it. Yeah. So now,
sorry, we all break each other's balls.
So now I get caption anxiety when I make it my reels now. I'm like, is Bill going to like this now? It's so fucking funny. I love it.
Caption anxiety.
I absolutely love it.
You have caption PTSD. Sorry, I gave you caption PTSD.
You did.
No, man, like I'm, you know, all joking aside, like I'm just like you said, like, you're grateful to be here. I'm grateful you're here.
I appreciate that. I recently told you that I want to do some more on the stacks.
Yeah.
Love to have a bigger role here.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to you have the job at Goodtree MMA where it allows me freedom to do other things. You know what I mean? And I get to train jiu-jitsu all day long, you know, and I was here last year. I just started working at Goodtree MMA, but mm-hmm. I spent 6 months. I left the job at the casino. Did I talk about that? I definitely talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I talked about that. Like, left the job at the casino, and I've been going there the last week or so because I'm staying up the street from there. Yeah. And I've been playing little craps here or there. I think I'm even for the whole time I've been playing. I love the atmosphere of the casino. Not when I was working there, just being in there in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing all my old friends at night shift, everything like that, seeing with them playing. But then I see the players. Why I left some of these,
and you're like, whoa.
Some of these players, and there's times where I won't play craps because they're on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's one side of the table where it's come cool, not all the guests were bad, but most of them were. You see the same person every day, and they're miserable, and you add in alcohol and losing money, and they're not nice people to begin with. Man, it beats you down every day. It beats you down every day. And there's some people that I'll come in there, I don't look for trouble, but a couple of the players just come out and say something to me. Oh, you don't work here no more? I'm like, no, I've worked here in a year and a half. And then they'll make another comment. I'll be like, you're the reason why I fucking left here. This older guy, real asshole, told me the other night, oh, can't you just be quiet? People are playing craps. Put your money down if you want to talk. And I looked at him. I'm talking, and then he goes to Brad, the dealer. Brad's like, bro, he's a player. He's not, doesn't work here anymore. He's a guest. And I said to him, I go, bro, I would never play craps next to you. You know, I don't want my money anywhere near your money. I go, you are one of the biggest assholes that I ever dealt to in my entire life. And he goes, what are you doing now? I go, I see somebody, oh, you got a real job. I'm like, I go, well, a dealer's not a real job. I go, they're not doing a real job. And like, can I shut up? He goes, dealing crap is one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life.
Yeah, I can never do it.
And people think that it's not providing a service. Like, these are players that don't tip.
Oh, of course. You didn't have to say that. I knew that before you even said that.
There were asshole players, but they tipped a lot. So you deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
So on the craps table, players that are not cool, like, make you work more than you need to, they're called strokers.
Okay, there's nicknames here.
So
okay.
The best example, now, people listening, if you play craps, more than likely, some of you are strokers. A stroker on the craps table is, so Bill, you're my dealer right now, I'm the player.
Okay.
Bill, give me a $10 10. You play craps before?
No.
You might not know what I'm talking about. That's fine.
Okay.
So give me a $10 10. Okay. Oh, you know, give me $10 5. Give me $10 9. Give me $10. Give me $12 6. Give me $12 8. Give me $10 9. 54 across, you mean? So there's terms for craps. Now, when you first start playing, you're not going to know the terms. But these are seasoned players. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're making the bet all at once. They make a bet singly. That's a stroker.
Okay.
Pick my bet off. Move it there. Constantly always doing something every single fucking roll that drives you crazy.
Yeah.
And you're not a tipper. You are a stroker. Now, there's tipping strokers. We don't call them strokers. We call them tippers.
Tippers.
I'll do whatever you want, bro. There's players that will up their bet every play, move down, move this, move that, but they're tipping me every play. Man, I want to deal with these people. I want them to do good. You know what I mean? But don't be a stroker on the craps table if you're not a tipper.
Yeah.
Tip while you're playing.
Yeah.
Don't tip at the end. Tip while you're playing. The dealers work hard.
How do you feel about tipping in the restaurant business? I know. I feel like you had a little rant on this not long ago.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something you're passionate about.
I've ranted on a few other people's pages.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't get responses. You know what I mean? Listen, you go out to a restaurant. You'd make the decision to leave your house, to not cook, not make a mess. You make the decision to go to a restaurant and have Bill wait on you, right? So Bill's our server.
On the server.
Bill, he was the dealer, now he's the server, okay?
Yep.
So I go to On the Stacks restaurant, all right? Cooked by Food Fight. And I sit down at the table, a family of two or a family of three, whatever. And Bill brings me, he comes over, greets me, real nice. Brings me drinks, refills my drinks, appetizers, takes away the plate. Dinners, everything, desserts, clears everything away, puts everything in front of me, brings me extra silverware, brings me extra ketchup, whatever I want. He's literally waiting on me. He's serving me dinner. I get the bill, whatever it is, and I don't tip him. People don't tip because, the restaurant should pay them. Like, they're providing you a legitimate service where they're waiting on you hand and foot because you made the decision to go there. Don't blame the restaurant. You blame the state, if anybody, for paying the service $2.83 an hour. But we have tipping culture in this country, and that's it. Don't compare us to any other country. It is what it is.
Yeah, if you don't like it, go live somewhere else.
So I supported myself on tips for years and years and years, and I make great money doing it. A lot of people get stuck in those business because they make really good money.
Yeah, you can't get out.
Right. So you don't think, say your bill's $100. You don't think that's worth a $20 bill for that person literally taking care of you, making sure everything's perfect. Listen, if the food's shitty or the service, listen, more importantly, if the service is shitty, don't tip. I go in the restaurant, I probably tip about 30% right from the start. But that can either go up or down depending on the service.
Mm.
I'm not saying tip no matter what. You tip for good service. You don't tip someone that's ignoring you or doesn't come back to check your food. Servers and waitresses and bartenders, you drop food in front of your customer, go back there in 2 minutes, make sure everything is right. Don't let them sit there with overcooked steak, undercooked burger, cold french fries, because that's going to affect your tip.
That's the worst.
If you drop a burger in front of me and it's cold and I don't see you for 20 minutes,
you're done.
You're not going to get a good tip.
Yeah, you're done.
You're not going to get a good tip because you're not giving me the service that I come there for. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
So 100%.
The two-edged sword. I'm not saying tip just a tip. Absolutely not. No. Now, you got all the other businesses that want tips now.
Oh, yeah. I think this might be it. How do you feel about when you go to a place where you go in, you order your food at a counter, and you walk out the door at the counter or go to your seat with the counter, but it's all self-serve, right? You just order. They hand you the food across the table. It's essentially, think of it like, I'm going to use McDonald's as an example.
Yeah, just a perfect example.
Else, okay?
Yep.
Except McDonald's, they don't ask for tips on the screen, I don't think.
I'm surprised they don't.
Yeah. But like another, a restaurant that, you know, I'm saying is not fast food, mm-hmm. but the same idea where you go in, you order the food at a register with a yep. person, you pay them the money, then they give you your food and you take it to the table, you eat it, and then you take your tray or whatever it is and you throw it away yourself.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the thing that comes up on the screen right now?
I don't like
credit card if you need a tip.
I don't like that. I don't mind a little. Now, I don't frequent the coffee places around the area, like Dunkin' Donuts, Bucks, all those places, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they always have a jar or a tip. Now, see, coming in the food business, if I walk in there and I see the guy making me a really good latte, I know they share tips. I want the guy making the latte to have a dollar, but they share it to a whole staff. I'm going to tip a dollar in the barista, because like baristas, that's a service. They're providing me a service. They're making me a really good coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give them a dollar. Yeah. I don't go there a lot anyway, right? But I go to these local hoagie places, these chain hoagie places somewhere around the area, right? Jersey Mike's, Primo's, places like that. They turn the screen around. They want a tip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I don't agree. I agree with you.
I can't. Yeah. I was at the airport.
Why? Why tip?
When I was flying to Florida, I paid $9 for 2 bottles of water at the store before we got on the flight. She has a basket off for a tip. Get out of here. Don't charge me so much for the water. I'll give you a tip. I just paid $9 for 2 bottles of water. I got robbed.
Yeah, totally.
And you want a tip for sitting near the register? I'm just not going to do
even
that.
Even I don't charge you for the bottle of water here. I yell at you for it.
Yeah, it's worse.
But at least I still give it to you, right?
I'd rather pay for it and not get yelled at.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
You have water anxiety and caption
anxiety. But it just doesn't make any sense. Tip this person. Well, they're making 20 they're making $15, $20 an hour. Servers aren't. Now, on the flip side, somebody, people have been posting a lot lately. If you paid servers a livable wage, we wouldn't have to tip them. Okay. So let's get into that for a second, okay? You're going to pay a server 15, so you pay someone $15 an hour, 40 hours a week, 32, five a year, all right? You can't live in that. You can't, that's good for a second income for a family, the supplement, but you're not renting an apartment on that. I'm looking for apartments now, man. It's $2,000 just to get the key.
Crazy.
Maybe, you know what I mean? And so you're going to pay a server 15, let's just say $20 an hour, all right? So Bill, I'm going to take you off the tips, all right? No one's going to tip you anymore. I'm going to pay you $20 an hour, and you're going to get a paycheck at the end of the month. End of the week, all right? So you're going to go from making $250 a night in cash tips to making $160 for an 8-hour shift
in a check
before taxes.
Yeah.
All right. So no matter what you do, no matter how you treat me as your guest, you're still making $20 an hour and no tips, okay? So what do you think is going to happen? What's the first thing that's going to happen?
All those people are going to quit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's going to be people, a seasoned servers are going to quit. But I was thinking more of the long, like, the service is going to...
The service is going to plummet. But
people will quit, though.
Yeah, people will quit.
Because you know why? Because waiting on tables and bartending and busing and all that shit, it's not worth $20 an hour.
No.
It's not worth... It's a very hard, demanding job on the body. You work terrible hours. You work holidays.
Mentally.
And you deal with people's shit.
And yeah, mentally.
All the time. Most people are nice, but it only takes one piece of shit to ruin your day and fire you up, all right? And you're going to do that for $15 to $20 an hour? Fuck that shit, man. Put me in an office for $20 an hour. Put me in a warehouse for $20 an hour. If I had to choose, I worked in a warehouse before. I would rather wait on tables for $20 an hour than work in a warehouse for $20 an hour if I had to choose.
Okay.
All right. Because working in a warehouse is not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun. God bless everyone that works in there. You're hustling. Keep it up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just did it before. It wasn't for me. But you're not going to pay a servers and bartenders who are seasoned. You might be able to hire somebody brand new who never did it before, but they're going to turn into be like, this is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But the service is going to lack.
Yeah, and they're not going to care because everyone, I've never worked in the restaurant industry, but I mean, I worked at Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if that counts.
That's fast.
I was 16.
It's probably crazy.
But, you know, again, just, you know, from you know, my perspective, you know, working, you know, someone being in the restaurant business, like those people, they thrive and live, and the tips is everything, right? And like they're there because they know if they do a good job, they're going to get paid more, and that's it. That's why they're there. And if that goes away, like you're not going to pay me anymore for providing good service and dealing with people's shit, well then it's not for me.
No, exactly. So you get someone that's making. I used to make $1,000 a week in cash waiting on tables. If you knock that down in half and give me a paycheck. Fuck that shit. I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
What brings me back the next, when I just got done working 12-hour shift, what brings me back to work another 12-hour shift the next day is the money in my pocket, the cash in my pocket. You got $200 in your pocket. It's a hard job, but you have $200-$300 in cash in your pocket at the night. It makes it worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Even though you don't have time to spend it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
That's, and then people are actually naive enough to think, oh, you don't have to raise the food costs. Who's paying these people?
Yeah.
There's already a thin margin of profit in the restaurant business to begin with. Now you're going to go from paying an employee, let's say $5 an hour. Now you're paying them $20 an hour. It's three times the amount you were just paying.
It's impossible.
Who's paying for that? We're paying for that.
Right.
My $15 cheeseburger is now $17.50.
Yeah, at least.
If not more.
Buy more.
And people think that there's not going to raise food cost. Are you out of your mind? You're going to get shit service. And you're not going to, and you're going to pay more.
Yeah.
You want a soda refill? Good luck. Because you know where I am? I'm in the kitchen bullshit or going for a smoke. I used to smoke cigarettes when I worked in the restaurant business. If I'm getting paid a flat rate,
for a smoke.
If I'm getting paid a flat rate, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. I'll be back. And you're going to smell me. All right?
Yeah.
I didn't smoke until after everyone left. You know what I mean? But if you're paying me flat rate,
I'm going to smoke in between.
I'm going to go smoke.
In between every refill.
I might even eat some of your soup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at your table.
Yeah.
I might just sit down
and have some of your soup.
While you go to the bathroom.
I don't care because you're not going
to
tip me anyway.
Yeah, while they go to the bathroom, you're sitting down just, you know, eating the soup.
But you're not going to stop people from tipping though either.
No.
Even if you know they're getting paid $20 an hour, they're still waiting on you, I'm going to tip you. I'm going to tip you.
Yeah.
They just raised the minimum wage in California for fast food workers to $15 or $20. I think it was $20 an hour. Mm. So you know what the fast food businesses did? They laid off. They cut hours. They raised their food prices to offset that. Did the government think that they were going to eat that?
Yeah, no way.
They gotta do, they're a business. They got to do what they got to do.
Right.
They got to do what they got to do. So now you're, now everyone's paying for more, paying more for stuff now. Fucking backfired big time.
Oh, yeah.
Backfired. Yeah. Backfired big time, man. Is the McDonald's job or Burger King job worth $20 an hour? I don't know. I never did it before. It might be. 15 an hour sounds about right, in my opinion. 15 hours probably. An hour, right? You know, considering how much they charge for everything now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Number one's like $10. You know what crazy. I mean? Absolutely crazy, bro.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy. So you just came across your 200th episode.
We did.
For On the Stacks.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
That is crazy. It's crazy. How many years is that?
Well, so it's 4 years with the show, but yeah. 5 years with the brand. So I started the brand, I won't even get into the story because I've told it too many times, but you know, 1 year of no podcast with just the brand, and then four years.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
The year without the show?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
It was just, remember the pictures that on the stacks, on the actual pallets of paper?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I used to do just that. So just
pictures of you sitting on paper?
Yeah, with a guest.
Oh, okay.
And no podcast. All I would do was take a picture. You know, there's a picture of me and you.
Yeah.
Sitting on the pallets of paper, and I would then just post those photos. Okay.
Okay.
Just photos of me and you.
Yeah.
I'd post those on social media and say like, "Hey, this is Brian. Here's like," and I would give like a little paragraph of like just snippet of your life.
Yeah.
For the 15 minutes that I learned of you while you were here taking those pictures, I would post that on social media. Did that for once a week for a whole year.
Interesting. How'd that go?
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
We should do one of those.
But then people wanted more.
We should do a little throwback. Yeah. People wanted more.
And then that's what turns into a podcast.
When people want more, people want meat and pizza in my reviews.
Yep.
I'm like, I don't want to do it. Then another person. Yep. Eat them. I'm like, okay.
So now you're eating them.
So now we eat them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So 200 exactly. episodes. Bro.
200. And yeah, we got the lighting in here is like a little, change up the little over here, some of this stuff. And
see that.
It's a little more dramatic in here now. What do you think?
I like it a lot. I asked you for even more dimmer, but we can't do because of the cameras.
That's fair. I would, and we'll have to talk to Eric about this after. But yes, I would prefer more dim as well.
Yeah.
Because like for you and I right now, like live in person, it's pretty fucking bright. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like
it's just right though. It's not bad.
Yeah, it is. But it's also still like really bright. Like you said, like I like dimming lights.
Yeah.
You know, not like super super dim, mm-hmm. but dim. It doesn't have to be like I don't want like you know. Doesn't need to be as bright as you don't feel like you're living on the sun,
right?
Right, but the word we used right before I think we started was cozy.
Yes,
I'm just trying to create a cozy. Like a cozy.
I couldn't get the word cozy out.
Yeah, you were thinking. Yeah, and then I said, "I'm like cozy," and you're like, "Yeah, that's it."
So your episode, did you have a special guest on the Twitter episode?
Yeah, I think it was me.
Oh, Bill Corcoran Jr.
Yeah, it was me.
A special guest.
It was me.
with Jimmy Martin.
Yeah, shout out to Jimmy.
Jimmy T. Martin
for Jimmy sat on this side of the table. Yeah, that was the first time me in 5 years, but 4 years of the show, for the first time in 4 years of the show, I sat on your side of the table.
It's coming out this Wednesday. I know this episode is going to come out a little while after that, of course.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm really looking forward to the listening. Again, I didn't know that about the first year.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's why I need you to just go into it for a minute for me.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to listening to your podcast. By then, you know, it's going to be out in the open. I know you just left the family business, right?
Yeah. Then do
big decision. Now you're doing this full time.
Yeah,
which is fantastic.
It's crazy. I was just, I think, talking to myself earlier today. But when I said to myself, "I'm a full time content creator now," that you know how good that felt to say.
It's amazing.
Like you know how many people, and this isn't like I'm not like bragging or I'm not like knocking anyone, but you know how many people say, "I want to be a full time content creator,"
or. Some of your friends say to you, "What do you plan on getting out of what you're doing?" When I started making my reviews in the beginning, "What are you planning on getting out of this?" I'm having fun.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Dude, yeah. I got the same thing. Dude, I still got those questions up until like maybe even the last like year. I think like a year and a half ago, at this point, it's probably been almost 2 years. But like when I bought this building, then I think maybe people were like, "Oh, okay, Bill's kind of serious."
Yeah.
He's bought a fucking building, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, even like I said, like up until not long ago, I just had somebody a week ago say like, "Hey, you make money doing this? Bro."
Kingston pays us to do this. Kingston pays you to do this.
Yeah, the municipal building's paying us. Yeah, right. But yeah, same thing. Like, dude, I got the same shit from people. Like, oh, like, is this like you, like, what are you gonna do with that? Like, yeah. why are you doing that? Like, oh, what's the point? Oh, you look stupid. Oh, that's silly. Oh, stop doing that. It's like, well,
they want to do it themselves.
They do.
Yeah.
It's always in my opinion. It's always their own insecurities.
Yes.
You know, and it's people that are afraid to put themselves out there in any form of media, whether it's audio, video, don't matter. But yeah, man, when I, like I said, sitting here now and being able to say that I'm a full-time content creator, there's nothing like it.
It's amazing.
It is.
It's
and to be able to now also work with people like you and everybody else and anybody else that's also going to join us, because we've got a few more in the works. I'm not going to mention it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, but we have a few more in the works, and I'm excited to really be able to, what I feel like OTS is leading the way for the content creator industry in Northeastern Pennsylvania. I mean, I don't think there's anyone anywhere near doing what we're doing, anywhere near anything in this realm.
I love being part of it.
And listen, I don't, like, I'm not saying that, like, I'm not knocking anyone. And if somebody wants to try to do similar to them, good.
Your comments well deserved.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's why I'm here, bro.
Thank you.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
What I tell you, I said it before. First time I walked in here last year, I didn't know what I was walking into. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I seen your content on social media. I'm like, oh my God, follow this. This is amazing. You know, I just came off of doing Scotty Scooch's Sober Sit Down podcast, my first podcast I was ever on. He doesn't do it anymore, but I'm trying to get him on the show, you know? But I was like, after I did that, I was like, oh, that's really cool. This is really, I want more of this. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the universe just provides for you sometimes when it you does. Need that. And you like some of my content. And I was like, I got to message this guy. And then I got on your show, and great story, which led us to our speaking event at Wilkes, and hopefully many more places to do that.
Yeah.
But I said the most important, I said, I walked in there, I'm like, ah, man, I got to be part of this. I just started doing social media more. I was doing it for almost a year, like for about 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so exciting to do it. I think about a year, I see the memories now from last year. I'm like, oh, wow, those rough reviews right there, you know?
Yeah.
Some good ones, but some rough ones.
Yeah, but hey, you did it. And now you're here.
The following I generated since then into now. And then when you explained to me how the shows work and these sponsors, I'm like, who the hell is going to want a sponsor be doing a brand new food podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was proven wrong, because people are backing me. Because they also back you, which helps them back me.
Yes.
And the feedback has been tremendous. And I remember when you said, like, you're the only, food podcast in the area.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I really? And then you look it up and it's like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I was just like, this is really, really cool. And we've had some really great guests on here. And you recommend me some. You reach out to people. Then I reach out to people. You know what I mean? And we have some really good guests lined up. And it's so much fun, man. It's so much fun doing this. It really is. It's not work. And I don't want it to turn into work.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want it to be stressful. And do you ever deal with that? So you're on the main business side of it. I mean, I just come in here. What do I always say to you?
You're just the talent.
I go, why aren't these microphones ready? I'm just the talent. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I charge you for the water. Yep. Yeah.
But they're not realizing that sooner or later, I'll be doing everything. Like, you came in here, you set everything up yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Yep.
The more I do, the better it's going to be. You know what I mean? Well, not the better it's going to be, but the more I do, the more involved I get to be.
Yep.
And the more you could do for the company, which will
advance us
trickle
all.
Down to all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
Do you ever deal with, so 4 years, almost 5 years now, 4 years doing the show, 200 your podcasts. It's got to be stressful and fun at the same time.
You know what?
Is it more fun than stressful? Does the fun take over the stress?
Oh, it's definitely more fun than stressful.
That's great.
I'll say, like, up until not long ago when, I had my heart incident and all that and, decided to leave my...
I want to ask about that in a minute.
Yeah.
So go ahead and finish real quick.
We might have to have a part two for that. Have to have a part two. But yeah, so, I was supposed to leave my day job June 28th, but, with the heart incident and a bunch of other factors, personally, with that... I decided to leave immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll say, like, up until that point, not that this was stressful, but there was a lot of stress in my life for a million and one different reasons. And I won't,
this wasn't one of them.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, this was, I mean, of course, to the level that this got, I want to say it was stressful, but I have responsibility.
And you wanted more time. So not having if I'm hearing you right, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't have the time.
I didn't have the time.
That you wanted or needed to put into this place.
Now
you,
and it was stressful doing it all.
That could be stressful.
It was stressful doing it all. So this wasn't stressful.
It's a lot of work. You told me you used to work by like 7:30 to about 5, 6 o'clock.
Yeah. That was just that day job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was day job only.
That's a long day.
And then all this. Yeah. And I won't even get into this.
No,
right?
It's
but
all
like,
good. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So, but like, you know, all like this was never stressful. It was just, I'll say in general, stressful doing a lot of stuff. And maybe doing a little bit more than I'll say maybe I can handle. And everybody probably looked at it like, oh my God, like you're crazy. How are you doing all that? And it's like, well, like now that the story's out, now that people know the reason why, like I was doing so much. Well, number one, like I don't stop to begin with. Right. Mm-hmm. That's just my work ethic, you know, my brain, my ADHD, it's just the way I work. Right. But part of it was because I was building myself a business and building myself out of my day job. I was building a way out of my day job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most people didn't know that. Some did. But you know, now that I was able to build it as much as I was there, now I'm here, now I'm doing this, and we're good, you know?
Amazing. I love
it. And I said it to my mom. I was just over her house a few days ago, and she's like, so how is it now? You know, meaning like, how's it going? Like, are you less stressed now? You don't have the day job anymore? Like, how do you feel? Like, do you think you made the right choice? And I said, oh my God, I will never, ever go back, ever, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Let me say it one more time. Ever. Ever. Right. And I was like, yeah, I said, I'm happier than ever. I said, like, I was like, and I was on the way out the door and she joked. She's like, okay, yep. Time to go back to work. I said, this isn't work. Like, that's what I said. And you said it before too, and it reminded me. Like, she said, okay, yep. Time for you to go back to work. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm my own boss now. I could, you know, I could make my own. I said, but it's not work. I was like, you know, me going there. I said, like, of course, you know, obviously I love it. Right. And, you know, maybe at some point as we grow, maybe even bigger, maybe it'll feel a little bit more like work, but
there'll be work before the fun. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. But honestly, like, and I've said this before, like, I love doing all aspects of it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, are there certain parts that I like less than others? Definitely. And that's with anything.
Yeah,
however, you know, the only things I don't do is edit the show. But besides that, like, that's just something that, you know, long story, like that's just not something I'm going to do in this business going ever, right? Like, that's not my mm-hmm. strong suit. But as far as pretty much everything else, like, I've done everything else and I still do a lot of the stuff. I still do, a lot of everything else, and I've done everything but that, you know? And I always say, like, if you don't love the process, and the process is 90% behind, not actually behind this mic, but behind the scenes mm-hmm. before showing up here.
Yeah.
You know, it's before this and after this that all the work comes, as you know, right? You know, now you've experienced it on the, you know, on the podcast end.
For sure.
Like, this is the easiest part. And, but again, if you don't love all that other stuff beforehand and then afterwards, well, then you're done. You know what I mean? And
I
like, obviously, you know, you like it, you know, it's
like I could relate that to jujitsu.
Yeah.
All right. You're not going to learn jujitsu in a day. Like, you're not going to learn it in a year. You're going to learn a lot in a year.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to put the work in 2-3 times a week.
And do the basics.
And do the basics and sweat, tears, be in pain. You're paying to have somebody put you in a chokehold.
Yeah.
Okay. But guess what? You get to put them in a chokehold too.
Yeah. And learn how to get out of it.
Yeah. When we practice rear naked chokes, they're going to do it to you. You're going to do it to them. Now you know how to do it. Now you know how to do a proper rear naked choke. Not one where someone's going to flip you over the back or be able to, because the defense for a rear naked choke is you got to go to the wrist. All right. You got to go, they come around your neck, the wrist, not this part of the arm,
mm-hmm.
the wrist or the hand. You want to go. Mm-hmm. That's where you want to grab. That's where your first defensive part is. This is too strong. See, my arm's going up, coming down. Most people don't know that. That's why it works on the street or anywhere or other places where people aren't trained. You know what I mean? Most people aren't trained in that, you know, but you got to put the work in to get better at it. You go out there and you perform a perfect match where you this dominant takedown, control, mount, submission. All right. None of that happens unless you get put down like that. Unless someone takes you down, controls you, submits you for so many times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you roll with a black belt in jiu-jitsu, brown belt in jiu-jitsu, all right? Really, really good guys, and you're white belt, brown belt, even a purple belt. You know, I watch my instructors, you know, Tyler's my instructor at the Wilkes-Barre gym, and then Frank's the other instructor at the Dunmore gym. They're the most I train with. You know, then there's Sensei Dom, who's in his 70s, and this guy's just, he's amazing. He can do whatever he wants to you, you know what I mean? But the other black belts, you know, when I roll with them, you know, you never know if you're working or if you're getting one over on them. I never know. Maybe sometimes with me and Tyler, we're getting ready for the competitions. There could be some times where, you know, I really do get him. You know what I mean? But it's very far in between, but I have to get the initial takedowns. Plus, I'm bigger than him. So he always tells me, he goes, you weigh 60 more pounds than me. He goes, you should be winning some of the situations, even though I'm a black belt. However, there's times where I'll be like, Tyler, turn it on today. And he turns it on. I can't do anything.
Smoked, huh?
Okay. Yeah. He was standing on me the other day and I couldn't get him off of me. He started with his knee in my neck. And I'm like, okay, where's this going? Then he started standing. I'm like, what the fuck? By the time he got on me, I couldn't get him off of me. He was just standing on me. I'm like, this is ridiculous. They can do whatever they want. It's, you have to put the work in, just like you put the work in behind the scenes here. I don't want to get off too much of a tangent, but you got to put the work in to get better. And there's blood, sweat, and tears leading up to where things are semi-normal. But people love that. That's why they join the gym. That's why they love doing that. They want a challenge. I need a new challenge. The gym's not enough for me. I want to come take a free jiu-jitsu class. They get out. You know, 99% of the class was them getting crushed. But that 1% was like, oh, you see, I almost got a chokehold on somebody. And they're so excited about it. I'm like, well, keep coming back. And you'll be able to put that choke on them perfectly. It's great. The kids class is the most satisfying pill. Most of the time before kids class, I just got done doing some paperwork, some computer work. Now I'm sitting around. I'm like, oh, God, it's class time. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's not in the mood for it. However, I just told Tyler this the other day, right after kids class is over, 45 minutes, I'm in the best mood ever. I'm like, I feel great now. I feel great now. Then I bring that energy. My energy for the kids class goes from, ah, oh, man, I go, oh, here we go again. You know what I mean? Like another class, even with the adults sometimes. However, I never feel that way when the class starts. That's like anything. I mean, there could be times where you don't want to even come here. I got to come there, set the cameras up, man. Oh, shit. You know, but then you get here, you're like, you just immediately light up.
Yep.
And then I show them, then I bring my mug in here and start talking and start yip-yapping, you know? Yeah. And But the kids come in, they're playing with each other before class, and then they line up, and I've been able to take charge of the class now. Tyler's been waiting for me to take charge of the class. Like, so when Tyler's like, kids, as soon as he opens his mouth, I'm right over. I'm like, kids, I get out of line. I line them up perfectly. Listen, before 5 o'clock, the kids play tag or they play this game called like Sharks and Jellyfish, whatever the fuck it is. You know what I mean? So it's become a great community for the kids to come in there. And a lot of kids come in that are shy. They're nervous. This, that, the other, right? Looking for friends. No, sad to say, a lot of them have only one parent. The mother brings them in, and but they come in, and you know, after a couple of weeks, they're not shy anymore. They're outgoing. They play tag. So for 15 minutes before class, they get to play around, do whatever they want to do, right? 5 o'clock starts. Boom. They're lined up in rank. If it's jiu-jitsu class, they line up in rank. We don't start warm-ups until they're all quiet, because if they keep it up, they have to do burpees before they warm up. And they know, the kids know this now. It's all about discipline. It's all about discipline, which leads into their training, which builds up their confidence. Without discipline, there's nothing else you could do in jiu-jitsu class. You have to listen. Are we lenient with the kids? Tyler goes to me one day, he goes, I hear what you're saying, but don't forget they're kids. He goes, you gotta give them a warning, you gotta talk to them. Now, if I make a kid do burpees, for acting up, talking too much after a warning, he does the burpees, then I get down to a knee, I'm like, do you know why you had to do burpees and the rest of the class didn't have to do burpees? And they appreciate that, whether they're 6 or they're 12. They appreciate you talking to them like they're a person, not just a kid in class, because I don't treat them that way. I wouldn't want to be treated that way. I respect them, they respect me, even between the 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, all the way to the 12-year-olds, into the adult classes, you know what I mean? And it's just when class is over, we do warm up, we learn a couple moves, and seeing the kids progress is like watching your own business progress. It's so incredibly satisfying when these kids come in here and they don't have no social life. They're getting picked on. They get picked on by bullies at school, and we teach the kids anti-bullying techniques as well. If your confidence is built up, no bully is going to fuck with you, whether you're a kid or an adult. You know what I mean? There's no room for that. And it's not even the kid's fault if they're a bully. You know what I mean? I used to pick on people when I was in school. I just didn't want to be there anymore. I could have been a shitty person when I was younger, picking on people in school. But like I had the ability to actually be able to apologize to some of those guys. You know what I mean? Either it's on social media or if I saw them in person. Yeah, sorry, I was a piece of shit to you in school. Oh, it's okay, man. We were kids. Yeah, I know that. But you know what I mean? Like, but sometimes people don't turn out too well when they get picked on in school and shit like that. And I learn from that and I become a better person. And I'm, I'll never go back there. That's why when I see people doing it in person or on social media, something like that, I like to step in and inject myself a little bit. You know what I mean? But my job went from, I was terrified to leave my job. Just like you're probably terrified to leave your job. Comfort, pay, steady paycheck, steady medical insurance, retirement, everything that you want from a job. But I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't getting satisfaction from my job. I was miserable. Getting up in the mornings, I was okay. I was motivated to go to work. But once I got there and people started buying in on the craps table, oh my God, I had to stop these people for every day for 8 weeks. I can't take it no more.
Yeah.
Can't take it no more. The money's not worth it no more.
Yeah.
And I was able to get out of there and change my life and change my career. And I get to sit here on a Monday afternoon at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and shoot a podcast with you and then go to work at the gym because Tyler's cool as shit. Hey, Todd, I got most of my work done on the computer earlier on. I'll see you about 4. No problem, man. I'll see you later. And that's it. I don't take advantage of it. I don't do it every day, but he's understandable. He's also the sponsor of my, they're also the sponsor of the Food Fight podcast. Yeah, so yeah, I have to, I have to, they have to give me a little leeway, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I tell him it's a business meeting. There you go. Yeah. He looks at me like, he knows I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
But I was like, he's going to be here though. I'm like, I know. And Mondays are our busiest day too. Like we do a lot of paperwork on Mondays, but if I get it done, they don't care.
Yeah.
As long as your work is done, your performance is there.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, it's great. Absolutely great. We're looking to expand as well too, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
This is exciting, man. We're going to have a part 3.
Okay.
Maybe definitely. I don't know if we'll wait. Wait another year, but.
Yeah, did we touch it? I think I would like to have you on the Food Fight podcast.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
So that could be a possibility.
Okay.
You gotta become a foodie first though.
Okay.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, I'm like starting to get into some of your reviews and things. I'm going around with you.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, so, it's a good time.
Yeah, we gotta do more of that, by the way.
Yeah. Antonio's was fun. Yeah. Oh, I told you that the person from the Antonio's in Nanticoke reached out to me and told me that he sold Mario from Old Forge Antonio's. He sold him the business in 78.
Mm.
So he has The original OG recipe.
Did you already go?
I did not go there yet.
Can I go with you?
Oh, it's going to be a road trip. Oh, yeah, for sure. My buddy Rock wants to come with us, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Rock was the one that got me started on this whole thing. He was the first one to go to the River Street one.
Okay.
So he has to come. And then we'll go meet this guy. His guy, he calls himself Luigi, but I don't think that's his real name, though. So anyways.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah, bro. I had a great time here today, man. I'm glad we were able to talk about some different stuff.
A couple cans. Two N's. CNN.
We got the Food Fight podcast. Official chaperone, Tony Soprano.
Yep, and the duck.
Soprano is the best TV show ever created.
Anybody
disagrees with me, forget about it. You know what I mean?
That's what they say.
Forget about it.
That's good. One more time.
Forget about it.
Do it a little more.
Forget about it. Soprano is a terrible ending. Forget about it.
There we go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, excellent.
Bro. Yeah, bro.
All right, well let's go off camera, have a couple more of these, and I'll see you back in your studio over there.
Yeah, sounds good, bro. I have a long trek over there, man. Thanks a lot for having me back on the show.
All right, On the Stacks podcast, Brian DiMattei, thanks for joining me. If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.